The scripture reading from Acts 2, 36 through 41. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. This is the word of God for the people of God.
I'm happy to be here today to fill in for Janet as she goes back to Tennessee for a graduation, which in 1964 I graduated from a Methodist school in Tennessee Wesleyan. I think she's out in Middle Tennessee now. But when she called the other week, I was available and glad that I could be here and be with you. I think I remember coming here probably about 15, 20 years ago and put on a slideshow about the High Road Program Center, and as I did in a lot of the Methodist churches in the Alexandria and Arlington district. I was the executive director for 18 years, and I pastored different churches for 7 years. My first church was in Virginia Conference was St. Mark's in Waynesboro. And this lovely chapel or worship area reminds me of the chapel and the worship area there. So that's bringing back some memories there. As the first scripture was read, it mentioned Peter and saying, and giving a lot of answers, and it sounds like excuses. And today I'm going to speak on not me, not there, or not yet. And Christ approached him three different times with things to do, and he kind of felt like he was responding in this same way of not me, not there, or not yet. I was reading recently about a pair of dice which were enshrined on a yellow pillow under glass in the old Las Vegas Desert Inn. It seems that back in the 50s, an anonymous sailor 27 straight wins with the dice at the game of craps. Now, some of your more worldly people will have to tell some of us and the rest of us what exactly that means. But according to the report I read, the odds against such a feat was 12,467,890 to 1. Here's what's interesting. Had the sailor bet the house limit on each roll, he would have received $268 million. Now that back in the 50s is quite a bit. Of course, it's quite a bit now too. But as it was, he was so timid with the wages that he walked away from the table with only $750. Now I'm sure that I'm certainly not endorsing gambling, but imagine that he could have had $268 million, but he only made $750. Because he was too timid, too conservative with his money. To me, that is typical of what so often happens in the church. We could do so many great things for Christ, but the first question that is always asked, where will the money come from? The second question is, will everyone support it? Friends, even Jesus had 1/12 of his congregation who wouldn't go along with him. As far as money is concerned, most churches have such timid goals that God can't bless them. They aren't attempting to do anything for which they need to depend on God. Writer Jim Stovall addressed his concerns. Stovall notes that the truly successful person have the same fears and doubts as the unsuccessful people do. They get scared. They wonder about things, but they don't let their fears and their doubts stop them from pressing forward. They do everything with their lives, and they take risks in spite of their fears. Stovall once interviewed actress Katharine Hepburn. He asked her, "What makes you so special?" Her answer was quite interesting, and she said, "Most actresses of any skill look at my work and find themselves saying, 'I could have done that.'" There is fear in this, and they don't respond. So as Katharine Hepburn went on, she said, "I did it, and they didn't." Stovall believes that what she said is true of most great people. Others can always look at their work and say, "I could have done that," but they didn't. Successful people overcome fears and do what they set out to do, no matter how scared they may be while doing it. Fear is a terrible thing. Fear causes us to settle for second best. Fear may even keep us from awakening to God's call, as much as Peter did not respond to Jesus' call. As one person has written, we can sing 9 million heartfelt verses of "Our God is an awesome God," and yet still cower in fear when God actually calls us to trust in Him. We think our faith is rock solid as long as it doesn't require us to leave our comfort zone. Our three most common responses to God when asked He places a radical call on our lives are "not me," "not there," or "not yet." Not me, we say. Choose someone else who's smarter or younger or braver or more spiritual or more elegant. I'm not the one you're looking for. Please don't ask me to go. You can think about Gideon, Moses, Esther, Noah. "I don't need that much oil," the groom said. "We'll come real soon." "Not there," we plead. "Don't ask me to go to Bosnia or Africa or any place where I might be in danger or can't speak the language, or maybe even southern Alexandria. Don't send me into a poor part of town. I'm not used to hanging out with those type of people. I'm not used to hanging out with them anywhere. Don't ask me to take your word to my family and friends. They don't understand. They'd laugh at me. Please don't ask me to go there." You can think about Abram and Peter. "Not yet," we protest. "This just isn't the right time. Maybe when I'm older, when the kids get out of school, when the bills are all paid, when I've retired," although I've learned that in retirement you're still busy if you allow yourself to do that, "when we have the money saved up, later, when I have time to prepare myself and everything is perfectly in place," which will probably never happen. "Ask me then, but please don't ask me to go there now." You can think about the rich young ruler. "Not me, not there, not yet." We let fear keep us from answering God's call. We let fear determine the quality of our service. Fear is a terrible thing. If we could just conquer our fears, we could turn our lives around. No wonder the Bible says, "Fear not," so many times. Many of us could be dynamic ambassadors of Christ if we only weren't so afraid. Afraid of looking silly, afraid of what others might think, afraid of being taken advantage of, and a host of fears too long to list. Do you remember the song, "Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf?" The song became enormously popular when Americans fighting in the Great Depression in the 1930s. But now it became a hit surprise even to creators. The song was in Walt Disney's animated cartoon, The Three Little Pigs, which opened in New York's Radio City Music Hall in May of 1933. Disney expected a good response, but to his disappointment, critics and audiences were like ho-hum about it. Then the lightning struck. After the movie was shown in other theaters, it suddenly caught on. Radio stations and band leaders were asking Disney for permission to play one of the songs featured in the film, Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf? Disney hadn't even arranged to publish the music. And to meet the demands for sheet music, he had to send musicians with flashlights in darkened theaters to copy down the words and the music from the screen. The song soon swept the country as a plunky response to a grinding economic times. Even President Roosevelt said the movie was one of his favorites. And of course, this was during the time when Roosevelt was telling Americans that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And Roosevelt was right. The only thing most that we have to fear is fear itself. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Wouldn't it be wonderful never to be afraid again? Where shall we go? Where will we be safe? Where shall we turn so that we never live in fear again? The psalmist tells us, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. These words have brought comfort to millions of people across the centuries. God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. There is a place that is safe. It's a place near the heart of God. If we could live our lives in God's presence, if we could trust God in everything that we do, if we could align our lives with God's perfect will, we would never have to walk in fear again. There's an old rhyme that goes like this. When in danger, when in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout. This old rhyme is not advice. It's a description of what we do when we are fearful and confused. We know it's futile, but we do it anyway. This tendency is addressed in the British Navy by the custom known as the steel. In cases of sudden disaster aboard a ship, the call for the steel is blown. This is a whistle for the crew to come to complete silence. And when the steel is blown over, every man aboard knows what it means. Prepare to do the right thing. This moment of calm has helped avoid many of catastrophe that running in circles, screaming and shouting could cause. The steel is being blown for us. It is not calling for us to respond with not me, not there, not yet. It is being blown for us to respond with the here I am, Lord. Send, use me. Will we be ready when the groom comes? Are you ready for Christ? Amen.